This is the King Chasing Podcast. Here's your host, Richard Martin.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the newest episode of the King Chasing Podcast. I am your host, Richard Martin. So glad you could tune in after a bit of a hiatus as we wrapped up the academic year, but full swing into the summer with a brand new episode. Don't forget, if you've missed past episodes of the King Chasing Podcast, you can find them online at thenccaa.org/podcast, on our YouTube channel, or on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Today's episode is a special two-guest episode of the King Chasing Podcast, as I am joined by Matthew and Sharon Tomlinson. Matthew Tomlinson is an assistant coach for the Emmaus University men's basketball program and played for the Eagles from 2014 to 2018. During his time as a player, Matthew was a 1,000-point scorer and was also an NCCAA scholar athlete. As a coach, Matthew Tomlinson was part of the staff that guided Emmaus to the 2022 NCCAA D2 Men's Basketball North Regional Championship and appearance in that year's D2 Men's Basketball National Championship Tournament. Sharon Tomlinson is also a former player for the Emmaus women's basketball team. During her time with Emmaus, she was a three-year captain for the Eagles and an NCCAA scholar athlete. She also guided the Eagles to a 2018 NCCAA D2 Women's Basketball North Regional Championship and appearance at the 2018 D2 Women's Basketball National Championship Tournament. After a stint as the head women's basketball coach for Emmaus, Sharon Tomlinson just finished her first season as assistant women's basketball coach for the Faith Baptist Bible College Eagles, helping guide the Eagles to a 25-5 overall record, the most wins in program history. Thanks again for tuning in to the newest episode of the King Chasing Podcast. Without further ado, we'll get into the newest episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the newest episode of the King Chasing Podcast. And I'm joined today by not one, but two guests. I'm joined by Matthew and Sharon Tomlinson. Guys, thank you so much for joining me today.
Richard, thanks for having us.
Yeah, this is super fun. We appreciate it.
Yeah, this is going to be a great episode. I can feel it. And so, for people who may not know, Matthew and Sharon, brother and sister, grew up together. Well, just kind of tell us, you know, what was it like growing up together? And, you know, how did that kind of shape your relationship? And then, of course, how did y'all grow to find the Lord growing up together?
Yeah, so it was really fun because only siblings. And so we spent a lot of time together. We grew up in a military family. So our dad was in the Air Force. And we spent a lot of time on the road at different places. Like, we always lived in the state of Wyoming, but when he was deployed around the U.S., we would travel and spend a lot of time in Utah, Montana. We just spent a few months around the year in California. So we got to have a lot of time together. And through that, our parents didn't want to constantly take us in and out of public school or private school. So they ended up homeschooling us. So we were able to spend a lot of time together. And I think it really, like, we were best friends, which was a lot of fun. We did pretty much everything together. And I think it really shaped us because, you know, we grew up in a great Christian household. Our parents super, you know, loved the Lord. Our dad ended up working at the church for a little bit of time. But I think, you know, went to youth group, did consistently attending church. I think, you know, in Wyoming, such a small population that there were not a lot of other homeschoolers or really that many Christian schools available. So we ended up playing sports at the public school. And I would say being homeschool growing up and then being thrown into the public school sports setting definitely was a culture shock. I think it was a kind of a big like moment of like, oh wow, like this is we really have to figure out how to you know, defend our faith. And I think, you know, when you get thrown into that and, you know, you get playing sports, because we didn't really grow up playing sports. Like, it's kind of fun because like our dad was a gymnast at Stanford University.
Oh, wow.
Our great uncle, he's in the Hall of Fame at Bradley University for basketball. And so a lot of sports in our family, but we didn't really start playing sports until, you know, middle school, eighth grade, freshman year.
Oh, wow.
I think once that happened, it was kind of like hit with the reality of, oh, this is crazy. You know, we want to do well in our sports. And I think kind of got caught up, especially for me, because I'm 2.5 years older than Sharon, 2 grades above her. You know, getting caught up in what's my identity? Is it in Christ? Is it in the sport? Is it being around, you know, this new environment? And I think I really struggled in that of, you know, sports did become my identity. And looking back, you know, it's really sad, but I'm still super thankful for how the Lord used that, because, you know, I became like the fun homeschooler guy who's good at sports. And then, you know, I ended up getting recruited by Western Colorado, which is a Division II team for football. I got a PWO. So that kind of became who I was. And then the Lord said, hey, let's pump those brakes a little bit. I ended up turning my ACL right before, like a couple weeks before I was supposed to leave for camp. And that was a huge wake-up call. And it's like, I don't want to go there and redshirt and pay $37,000. And so it was really cool. It was like through that, like, I think I went through a huge like identity crisis, and the Lord and the Holy Spirit really, you know, used that to bring me back to Him. It was really cool because during that time, one of our rival coaches, so like our high school had a big rivalry with another school, but the other coach was a Christian, and we had known him through various things. And he actually took me aside after like through the recovery process and was like, hey, Matthew, like, basically get your crap together. Like, what are you doing? Like, all your decisions are not honoring the Lord. Like, they're affecting your sister. And like, you need to, you know, get it together. And so I'd always like, you know, we'd grown up always hearing the gospel. And it finally, at that moment is when it finally clicked. And at that moment forward, I would say, I think I rededicated my life to Christ. And then it's been looking that way ever since.
Awesome.
Yeah, I would agree. Growing up was super fun, just having it be the two of us and our parents. And living in Wyoming was just a really cool place to grow up as well. But yeah, it was, I looking back, like, it's a huge blessing that we had, both of our parents were strong believers, and they were both raised in Christian homes. And I know that's not like super common. I think growing up, I was kind of like, oh, my testimony is so boring. Like, I came to know Christ when I was 5. I got baptized a couple of years later, and then that, like, that felt like that was it. But now that I'm a little bit older, I'm like, that is such a huge blessing to have parents who like love the Lord, and they taught us about Him like from the moment we were born, basically. Yeah, and I would say, I mean, I didn't grow a lot in my faith until I was in high school, because that was kind of when we were thrown into the public school sphere and like really surrounded by non-believers a lot. And so when I was in high school and when I went to college, that was kind of when I started really growing in my faith, and it kind of became my own.
Awesome. Awesome. That's great. And so, Matthew, you kind of told a little bit about how your recruiting process went, but how did you both end up from Wyoming to, at the time, Emmaus Bible College, now Emmaus University, all the way in Dubuque, Iowa?
Yeah, it's actually pretty funny. It's kind of like cool looking back and just seeing like all like the little like ripple effect in that. Like, there was a professor named Dr. David Reed. He taught apologetics for many years here at Emmaus, but he would travel around, because back then all the professors here would travel around in the summer, and they would preach from church to church, and that's how they would, you know, kind of get compensate for working in ministry, because you know, you sacrifice a lot for working in ministry. And so he came and spoke at our church probably from 2004 to 2012. Oh, wow. Not really like selling like, hey, I'm an Emmaus Bible College professor, you know, but like it was kind of more like just seeing how he interacted and preached. It's like, oh, that's really cool. And then didn't think about it again for, I don't know, 3 years. And then we had a friend that we knew that came to Emmaus for a semester. And then when I graduated, I took a gap year. And so I was visiting a friend in Kansas, and he had a friend who went to Calvary Bible College at the time, now Calvary University. And it just so happened that they were playing Emmaus in basketball. And so it was kind of like, man, Emmaus keeps popping up, like, so interesting. And then when Sharon graduated high school, we were both like, we should try to go somewhere together to grow our faith. And hey, if we can play basketball, that'd be really cool. And again, Emmaus popped up right there. And we're like, we should go visit them. So we hopped in the car with our parents, drove 22 hours for the visit preview weekend, and just where it was like Thursday through Saturday, and just, man, absolutely fell in love with the campus, the people here. We ended up talking to the coaches at the time, because they had, it's actually funny, because back then, like pre-2014, Emmaus Athletics wasn't super heavy in the athletic recruiting realm. It was literally more like, you know, if you had friends that played sports, or, you know, you'd show up, the coaches will rock around her and move in and be like, hey, you're tall, want to come join the basketball team? Like, straight up. And so I always joke, like, now looking back, like, we wouldn't recruit ourselves, our high school selves. But yeah, it was kind of cool. Just met people, fell in love with the campus, the people here, and ended up talking to the coaches again. And they both said, please join our team. And the rest is history.
Awesome.
Yeah, I actually wasn't ever planning on playing basketball in college. I thought, just like, I didn't play a lot in high school, so I was like, oh, there's no way, like, I definitely don't even want to play. And then we showed up for the visit week, and my coach Kyle Graf, he was like, oh, you played basketball before? Like, come on over. And so we scrimmaged, and then everyone who was at the scrimmage, he just kind of set a letter of intent in front of us, and he's like, sign these when you're ready. And I was like, oh, like, I didn't even know this was a possibility. And so I, yeah, that was kind of how I started playing here. But
and I think coming from the public school setting of playing, you know, like where there weren't very many believers on the teams we play with, thinking and seeing this environment of you get to play with, you know, your entire team full of other believers was just such a refreshing idea and thought process that was really appealing for us.
It's awesome. So, and you played at Emmaus. Just kind of both of y'all, what are your kind of your favorite memories from during your playing career?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I think obviously winning was a lot of fun. I hadn't done a lot of winning in my life up until that point. And then I come here and like, I got to be part of building a program from a 0-win season before I came to a 6-win season my first year to all of a sudden we started winning like conference championships. We won a regional championship to go to nationals by my senior year. So like winning was really cool. But also like just learning that you can honor and glorify Christ with the way you play basketball. Again, like playing at a public school, I didn't know that my faith and my sport could be combined. It felt like two very separate things. And so coming here and learning like the way that we interact with people and prepare and practice and like everything we do actually does point to Christ or it points away from him. And so like learning that was really cool. And then I think, I mean, obviously favorite memories would be like being able to play basketball, like at the same place at the same time as Matthew. Cause like, again, I didn't think I was going to play in college. I didn't think I was going to go to college with him at all. And then all of a sudden we're experiencing like all of our highs and lows together. Like I tore my ACL and Matthew's in a boot and he picks me up off the court and carries me off the court, you know? So like super lows, but then all of a sudden, like he's watching me win championships. I get to watch him win a championship back in 2022. Like, I get to see him hit 7 3.5 against CCB, you know, like just crazy stuff, like being there for each other through all the highs and lows is like super cool.
Yeah, it was always entertaining listening to the other team's announcers trying to figure out, okay, are they siblings? Are they married? Are they cousins? Like what's going on? Like our first semester, I think the whole time people were like, we didn't know, but because we hung out together all the time. I would say I kind of have two favorite memories. I'd say probably like from a basketball memory, it's probably my senior year, so 2018. Was that Central game she talked about where we were kind of like the fourth seed at the time and Central was coming as the one seed. And we had been struggling a little bit, but I actually got moved to the bench like an hour before the game because we didn't have any bench scoring and I was struggling rebounding and defending. Yes, I admit that. And so I ended up coming off the bench and I ended up hitting 7 threes in the first half and we ended up beating the number one team in the conference by 56 points. We won 100 wow. and something to six. Like myself and one of my other teammates, Stevie Horan, we combined for 65. It was pretty crazy. And they scored 65. And that was a really fun experience. We had a lot of fun times. Like our bench played the entire second half, which was so fun. But my junior, which I would say this is, you know, the most important one was being at Emmaus, being at an NCCAA school. You know, we play other NCCA teams, other Christian teams, but we have the opportunity to go out there and play non-Christian teams, public school, you know, public state schools or other private D3 and AI, whatever it may be. But we went up to Mayville State University up in North Dakota. And we went up there, played back-to-back, played them on a Friday and played them on a Saturday, which is a unique. But it was really cool because through that, you know, they're not a Christian school, public school, but through that, about a couple of weeks after the games got over, this was first semester, one of their players from England emailed our coach and said, hey coach, like I've just been really thinking like about a lot of stuff, been contemplating a lot of things. And you know, you guys are different. Like, why are you guys different? Like you weren't screaming at the refs. You weren't arguing with each other. Like you were helping the other team up. Like, what is that? And so through email thread and I think maybe one phone call or something, like our coach basically walked him through the gospel and the Romans road of, you know, why we are different, like what is the Bible in our name as the Emmaus Bible College. And it was really cool. Through that, he ended up getting saved and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior. And that was just like, you know, our Rafe Sharon's old coach, at the end of the day, he would talk about, you know, at the end of the day when we're up there with Jesus, he's not going to ask how many banners do you have or how many points did you score in your career? He's going to ask you, what did you do with the gifts and talents that I gave you? And just seeing that of like, you know, our witnessing opportunity of how we carried ourselves really impacts people. I haven't followed, or I don't really know where he is in life right now, but that was just a really awesome thing to see, like through our play style and through, you know, honoring the Lord, of the saint got saved, which is really cool.
That's cool. Sharon, we'll talk about some bad memories. Now you brought up a little bit about your ACL tear. Matthew, as you mentioned, you're also in the boot. Just what was, again, I feel like we talked many times about athletes who have gone through bad injuries, tough injuries. How did that, kind of shake your faith, or how did you stay the course, when such a devastating injury happens?
I would say that definitely had a huge impact on like my faith and who I am today. I tore my ACL when I was a sophomore in college, and that was a moment that was so hard for me because that was like right when I felt like I was trying to get good at basketball. I was trying to understand it. I was trying to really gel on the court, and I was playing a lot. And so like all of a sudden to have all of that taken away from me was really, really hard. But it also revealed like a lot of lies that I believed about myself. It made me realize like I was putting all of my value as a person in what I could do on the basketball court. Like I was all of a sudden, yeah, when you're sitting, I had to sit out for over 30 games. So that's more than a year's worth of games. And I had to all of a sudden learn how to be a good teammate, and I had to learn what that meant and like where my value lied, laid, lied, I don't know. But it just took a while for me to kind of figure out like the fact that I was putting all my value in sports. And it was really hard. I think anyone who has been through a serious injury will tell you like it's just as much mental as it is physical. And so, I mean, I tore my ACL 3 days before we won our first conference championship, and I was excited for it, but I was also down in the dumps because I was like, wow, even though I had played the whole year, I was like, I did not contribute a single thing to this championship. I suck, you know? So it's like just the mental battle of going through that. But yeah, I had incredible support system. My teammates were amazing. My family was amazing. My coach was amazing. Like everyone just did such a good job of like loving on me and making sure that I did feel cared for. And so coming out the other side, like it was a hard process and there were a lot of tears and it was just super difficult. But like coming out the other side, I do think it helped me to become a, like have the potential to be a good coach because I got to observe over a year's worth of games. It helped me to be a better teammate because I had to learn what I could bring to the team outside of just being on the court. I think also now down the road, especially like when I've been like all the time that I was out of Mass as a coach and now at Faith, like I've been able to walk with people through similar injuries because I can relate to them. I've been through what they're experiencing right now and I know the emotions and I kind of know what the process looks like. And so it's allowed me just to have, I think, more empathy towards people who are injured. And yeah, just be able to walk with them and encourage them in that. So I don't want to say, I don't know, it sounds weird to say I'm grateful for it. I don't think, but yeah, it just feels weird. But like now looking back, it's something that's like, okay, that did change my life. It did, I think, help me grow a lot. And so it's something that ended up being good, even though I would say that's the hardest thing I had ever been through up until that point in my life.
Awesome. And so then after finish your playing careers, you both come back to Emmaus and take coaching jobs. How did that kind of come about, and what was the decision process and coming back to the school?
Yeah, for me, after graduation, I was one of those graduates that had no idea what I was going to do after graduating. And so, because I'd gotten married going into senior year, like summer between junior and senior year. And so, and then we found out, 3 months later, we were expecting, and which is amazing. I love our oldest son. His name is Isaiah. But it did take my wife, Rachel, she was teammates with Sharon, and it took her away from the chance. She was a starter, and it took her away from that regional run. But we were like, what do we do? Graduation, and then our son was born, and then it's kind of like, all right, where's the Lord want us? And then it ended up happening. One of my friends who was working at Emmaus at the time was like, hey, we're looking for another admissions counselor. Are you interested? And I was like, sounds like fun working at Emmaus. Why not? And so I went through the interview process, ended up being hired as an admissions counselor. Did that for 3 years, got promoted to senior admissions counselor, and then just got another change in my job this year to senior admissions counselor, strategic partnerships. And through that, it's been really cool. I'm going to my 8th year of doing that. In the first year, they knew like, oh, I was a basketball player, obviously, because we're a small school. But you need to focus in on being an admissions counselor. So we're not going to necessarily let you coach right away. But then it ended up turning that we didn't have an assistant coach that year. So I ended up becoming the assistant coach second semester by necessity, with our old coach, Coach Edmondson. And then we had a coaching transition. I decided not to coach the next year and then went through a lot of things then. And then my 3rd year, I ended up going back and becoming the full assistant coach. And so this will be my seventh season assistant coaching at Emmaus. So super thankful and super grateful for that.
Wow.
Yeah, I think me coming back to work at Emmaus kind of started when I did tear my ACL. I think my coach, Coach Grout, from that moment was like, okay, I'm going to start preparing you to be a coach, which I had never thought that, I mean, similar to, I didn't think I was ever going to play in college. Like, coaching and working in the college sports realm was never something that was even on my radar. I didn't know you could work a job that was not an athletic director or like a head coach or whatever. And so as soon as I got injured, he kind of put me in positions where it was like, he was giving me stuff to do that was going to help me like become more observant on the bench, or just like help me like support other people. Like, they would sub off and I would be able to give them some pointers and stuff. And so then when I graduated, he kind of approached me. I didn't have like a full-time job at that point. And he was like, hey, like, we're going to try and start a position, the sports information director position at Emmaus. We didn't have that before. And he was like, take a look at the job description, tell me what you think and let me know. And I looked at it, I was like, I don't think I'll be good at any of this, but sure. And so at that point, for the first 3 years I did it, it was a volunteer job. And so I would work 40 hours during the week. And then after I would get done with work, I'd come over to Emmaus and I'd do some SID stuff on the side. I'd be an assistant coach with the basketball team. And so those made for very long work weeks, but I realized that I was like super passionate about it and I really loved it. And then for the last 3 years that I was at Emmaus, it became a full-time position, which was super cool. So I kind of got to be part of like starting that position and growing it and like growing with it. And then, yeah, now that I'm at Faith, I get to be a full-time SID still while I'm assistant coaching. So it's what I love to do. I really love working in the college sports realm.
Awesome. And as the person who overlooks all the stats and everything, I appreciate you too, because I'm very, very good at the sports information job for sure.
Oh, thank you.
Matthew, we'll continue with you. You talked about assistant coach. Your team qualified for the 2022 D2 men's basketball championship with that region championship, but you did not go to the national tournament. Sharon filled in for you. What happened to have that come about? And, you know, what was the experience like seeing your sister get to go and get the coach up with the men's team up at the national championship?
Oh, it was awesome. It was really cool because, we went on this crazy run in regionals to end up winning regionals for the first time in men's basketball history at Emmaus, which was super exciting. But at the time, my wife was 39 weeks pregnant with our second child. And so we ended up winning on a Saturday. And then I think like 8 days later, she gave birth to our second child, Levi, and then it was like on a Tuesday, and then we made it back home in time on Thursday to watch them play their first game. It was really cool, like, that Sharon was able to go, because obviously they came up short that year, but she was able to go as the assistant coach, as the SID, and help Coach Graw that year with driving, with picking out where they're going to go to eat, and then helping him with some basketball stuff. And I know the guys really appreciated her and that she was able to do that. And it was fun too, because I think it was probably the COVID year. I was the assistant coach for the guys' team. Sharon was the assistant coach for the girls' team. And our women's head coach ended up getting COVID and couldn't travel for two games. And so we ended up co-head coaching the women's team together. And that was really cool. We went 1-1. So it was fun. But yeah, seeing her be able to do that and just be there while we were yelling it from our house, waking up our newborn baby when we beat Arlington for the first time ever was pretty exciting. It was really cool.
Yeah, that was a super fun trip. I just like, as long as it's not affecting like my actual work, I like traveling with teams, especially when they go to nationals, because it's a super fun environment. And so I was already planning on like just driving down and going to nationals. And then all of a sudden they're like, well, we need someone to drive the other van. And like, I was like, okay, cool. Like, I'll bring my camera. I'll just take pictures. I'll drive the van. And then right before it was like warm up to the first game, Coach Rao was like, hey, you're sitting on the bench with us, right? And I was like, oh, I wasn't planning on it, but okay. So that was just a really fun environment to be able to like be on the bench at a national tournament, even if it wasn't like my team technically. But I still got to like go through all the strategic process and yell at Dylan Anderson a little bit on the court and things like that. And yeah, it was fun to be part of a team that actually beat Arlington, because when I was playing, we did not get to beat Arlington. so that was fun.
Shout out to Luke Sterwinski in the back, our producer, who hit one of the most clutch threes ever in overtime against Bob Jones to send us to double overtime.
Awesome. So, Matthew, you brought up a little bit about your kids, Isaiah Levi, now Hallie, who will turn 2 months soon. again, what's it like been with their experience and your experience of raising kids around an athletic department and just, trying to balance that between being a coach and being a dad?
The balancing part, still trying to figure that out 7 years into it. But no, it is truly amazing. Like, it's really cool because all the coaches here at Emmaus are kind of in the similar stage of life right now. Like, we're all young couples with, kids from 10 to, 2 months. And so it's just really cool having like the community within that, but also like being around so many great student athletes. Like, everyone at Emmaus is a born again believer. So having 200 plus role models, around us for our two boys and our new daughter is just, it's so encouraging and so refreshing that, like, we get to school and like, or my wife comes to school with three kids and, students are like, oh, let's go play on the playground with Isaiah or with Levi, or can I hold Hallie? And just cool, like, knowing, there's no ill intentions and they just love kids. They love us. And it's so exciting to see them grow in that. And seeing Isaiah is now, he's turning 7 next week and actually on Monday, and that he gets to like, kind of like realize like, oh, these are like going to be friends that I get to know for many, many years. And I get to see them through their 4 years of being at Emmaus. It's truly a blessing. I do not take it for granted. And we're so thankful that we have that opportunity.
And now with you both, with Sharon now at a different school over at Faith Baptist Bible, first time y'all have really been separated, especially in the coaching career. And I know you coach different teams, but what was the first experience like when you were playing each other and you're not on the same bench or not at the same school?
I mean, yeah, it was definitely weird because, like you said, like this is the longest we've ever been apart. I think it was like we've never been apart for more than like 2 months. And so, like, having that, like, not being around each other was definitely unique, but it was really cool. Just, we were able to, I think it was in December of this last year, like, we had a neutral site games down in Manhattan. And so we were able to see each other, not playing against each other, coaching against each other, but we were able to see each other and hang out, and that was fun. And then the first time was when we went down to Faith for the new cup games, because we fight for a cup, which is really fun. And that was just really cool just to see, Sharon there on a different bench, like, thriving, doing well at a different school and another close-minded school. And so definitely weird, but it's really cool.
Yeah, no, I think for me it was a little bit more weird probably because I felt like the new person in both locations. It's like I'm semi-new at Faith. This is my first year, and so I don't know all the super ath or the athletes super well. But then all of a sudden there's like so many new people at Emmaus, and so when we're at that neutral game and I go up and give Matthew a hug and all of his basketball players are like, who is that? So it's like it just kind of felt weird in like the social sense of it. But it was nice having a couple of neutral games just to hang out, and they're lower stakes because we're not playing against each other. But then when it comes down to it's like, yeah, obviously, like we're both super competitive, so it's like when they're playing Faith, obviously I want us to win. But then all of a sudden I look up and it's like, oh, that's Matthew on the bench. Like I do want the best for him. Maybe not when they're playing us, but I do want them to do well and stuff. And I think it brings a lot of like perspective and a lot of humanity to the game. Because if you're playing against just teams that you don't know, you're coaching against these people that you don't know, it's easy to like not really care about them and not care how you're acting necessarily. But then all of a sudden we're playing against a team that's like, oh, I know a lot of people on the team. I know Matthew. I love Matthew. Then it just kind of gives you the perspective of like, okay, ultimately, like you want to win, but like sports, I mean, it's not that important in the grand scheme of things. Like you brought up earlier, it's not like we're going to get to heaven and God's going to be like, oh my gosh, like you won all these championships for me. Like, great job. He's gonna care more about like how we treat each other, how we love each other, and showed Christ. So yeah, it definitely brings a lot of perspective. It feels weird. I'd rather be on the same bench, but it's also fun to have just like a safe person and someone you know really well on a different bench. It kind of brings a little bit of camaraderie to the game, I would say.
Awesome. And Sharon, going back to Faith, first year, y'all just got back from a trip to the Dominican Republic on a mission trip of your team. Can you tell us more about that and just the ways you and your team were impacted on that
Yeah, I think that could be a whole podcast in itself. I could go
trip?
on and on about that. It was an incredible experience, and I'm so thankful that I was able to go on something like that in my first year at Faith. Like that was super cool. But we brought a group of 18 people. There were 14 student athletes from our men's and women's basketball team, and it was fun. We just had 10 days of we were running clinics for high schooler and middle schoolers. We were going into classrooms and interacting with the kids. We were running PE classes. We got to play five games between our two teams against like local club teams in the Dominican Republic. And everywhere we went and everything we did, we had the opportunity to like share the gospel with everyone we came in contact with. We got to sing in front of a couple of church congregations too, which was really cool. And one of our freshmen preached a sermon. Wow. So it was just such a cool experience to be able to go into a different culture and get just like a little taste of what life there is like. And I think I really enjoyed seeing just like the growth throughout the trip of the two like basketball teams coming together and just really supporting each other. And we felt like one big team by the end of it. And seeing like all the athletes just kind of grow as individuals and grow in their confidence and being willing to just like dive headfirst into things. You know, you hop off the bus and it's like, I don't know how many of these people actually speak English, but like, I'm going to go and like talk to them and see if I can get a conversation going and, you know, play basketball with just some random kids. So it was really fun to see everyone kind of be in their element and just really be fully invested. And it was cool seeing like God's hand on every single aspect of the trip. We got to see some immediate fruit, which was really exciting. There was a school we went to where there were six girls who weren't at the clinics. They weren't really involved in what we were doing necessarily, but they connected with one of our players and they sat outside a classroom and listened as people shared testimonies. And from that, they wanted to know God. And so six girls came to Christ through that experience, which is super exciting. But yeah, even seeing like his hand on the little things, like down to who our bus driver was and who our translator was for the trip, like those two were just so invested in us. And I think it really helped our group come together and like be more confident in what we were doing. So it was a really cool trip. I would 100% go again. It was super fun. I would say our whole team felt like as far as like impact went, we all talked about on the last day we were there. It was like the fact that we were all out of our comfort zones for those 10 days. I think it made everyone a little bit more like bold in what we were doing. So it was easy. Like I'm already uncomfortable, so I might as well go strike up a conversation with someone that I don't know. And I wouldn't normally do this or like in sharing the gospel and stuff. Like we did it so confidently the whole trip. And I think our takeaway from that was like how many opportunities do we get to share the gospel or just share the love of Christ with people in our everyday lives? And so how important is it to when we're coming back and now we're all back in the comfort of our routines and doing stuff that we would normally do? It's so easy to just kind of fall into like being complacent again. But like, how can we take those feelings we felt on the trip and not just let it be like a camp high, you know, but like come back and continue to be bold with our faith and continue to share Christ's love with people? That was like the biggest impact. I think that it kind of like touched everyone on our trip.
Awesome, that sounds great. Well, guys, thank y'all so much for joining me today. And, you know, glad to have both the Tomlinsons on this episode. And, you know, just great job talking to y'all. And thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It was great.
Thank you once again to Matthew and Sharon Tomlinson for joining me on the newest edition of the King Chasing Podcast. It was a blast to talk about how they ended up at Emmaus coaching together and then, of course, being on opposite benches for the first time in their coaching careers this past season. That's going to do it for this episode of the King Chasing Podcast. Don't forget, you can find more episodes online at thenccaa.org/podcast, on YouTube, and on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. We'll see you in a little bit for the next episode, but until then, I'm Richard Martin, and this has been the King Chasing Podcast.